Knowledge seems to be very important in our society. In many ways, knowledge organizes various social structures in our relationships with other people. Let's look at a few of these briefly. First, through the internet, present-day society has more information available than it ever has before, and it's accessible immediately. You can get knowledge immediately by clicking on a switch. Knowledge can also be seen as quantifiable, measuring the amount of knowledge someone knows. You're all familiar with that this week. Final exams are a way of determining how much knowledge a student has. Knowledge also determines status, making a differentiation among those who have studied and those who have not. Academic degrees are conferred onto various fields where knowledge is an expertise. Knowledge can give comfort and security. We tend to seek people out for advice who we believe are knowledgeable about the specific nature of our problem. Knowledge can be linked with truth. When linked with empirical proof, scientists confirm their knowledge of a law of nature. Knowing and understanding empirical evidence leads to formulations of what is conceived as truth. Knowledge can also mean power. Knowledge and knowing is mentioned as the subject in today's gospel lesson. This week's gospel readings have contained a certain amount of knowledge or information that our Lord has presented as signs or ways of knowing when the final day is near. But then, after lengthy descriptions of these signs, he stunningly tells his disciples that no one will know the day or hour of his return. Quite unlike the prophets that St. Peter mentions in his first epistle, who were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, we are told that this day and time cannot be known and will not be revealed. Yet there are those today in our society who think that they can know the day and time and have devoted themselves to writing book after book about the final days. Unlike the prophets of old, however, they search not the scriptures, but rather interpret them in light of modern-day world events. Were they to have searched the scriptures, undoubtedly they would have also found this text. In spite of our text, there are those who also buy these books, speculate, become frightened, follow sects that sell everything and wait on hilltops for flying saucers to take them away. We live in a society that craves information, even at the cost of misinformation, to somehow know the day and the hour of Christ's return. What is it about not knowing the final day and hour that so disturbs people? The only way to answer this question and comfort troubled minds is to understand this text in a law way and a gospel way as it relates to the unbelieving world and as it relates to Christians. In a law way, Christ's words speak to all mankind. No one will know the day or hour. Christ's words strip away the falsehood of a feigned knowledge. They smite us with the declaration that the final day is hidden from us. No one will know is as good as saying, there is no one who is righteous, no, not one. There are none who understand and come to the knowledge of the truth. We are all in the same situation. We are powerless to affect the second coming of Christ. It is totally outside of what we know. It strips away our status. We're all equal. Here there is no hierarchical ranking of those who are privileged to know some knowledge about the Father and those who aren't. All lack knowledge about this final day. The lack of knowledge is testimony of our sinfulness. It reminds us that we do not have God all figured out. To the unbeliever, this text can potentially lead to desperation of the kind that Walther speaks about in Law and Gospel, as that sadness of the heart which leads to desperation, as he or she fears the hour and day and attempts to be prepared. This fear and desperation can be seen in the marketability of these books that seek to divine the day and hour of Christ's return so that people will make a decision for Christ. These books do not lead the unbeliever to Christ through recognition of sin, but rather can lead sinners into despair through fear of the unknown under the false notion of what it means to be prepared for the final day. What really disturbs sinners then in all of this is the fear that they are not prepared to face the impending judgment. And this fuels the need to know the closeness of the final day in order to become ready. Out of fear and out of despair, many people believe that they are prepared for the end times by making their decision for Christ. This sense of being prepared is understood in a temporal, sort of chronological way, much like having all my papers in order, my bags packed, tickets bought, and waiting out on the platform. But knowledge of day or hour will not help the individual. Even if a person could know the day and the hour, this knowledge cannot affect their salvation. Yes, in a law way, this verse demands that everyone be ready for the Christ's second coming, but its threats do not offer the solution to be prepared. Acceptance of Christ is an attempt to be or look prepared for the coming judgment. For the Christians, these words also work in a law way. Realizing that we will not know the day and hour of Christ's coming, we are stripped of all pretentious closeness with God. It is, after all, because we too are sinners that we do not know the day and the hour. We face judgment as well. We are powerless, faced with the reality that we too are called to constantly examine ourselves and be prepared. But unlike the believer's response to rely on him or herself to be prepared by knowing the day and time in order to escape impending doom, we prepare ourselves by confessing our sins, which has separated us from God, our frailty and struggle in being steadfast to the end. We prepare by examining our faith to make sure that it is centered in Christ, and by daily remembering our baptism and partaking of his body and blood when offered. As gospel, Christ's words, "You cannot know," hide a promise only visible through faith in Christ, the mystery of salvation. Because of Christ's atoning sacrifice, these words shift in focus from our inability to know the specific day to those signs that marked his first coming and secured our salvation: water, his body, and blood. Whereas we do not have evidential or empirical or quantifiable knowledge about the final day, we have a qualitatively different knowledge through faith by the evidence of Christ's promised bodily presence in, with, and under bread and wine, with the promise given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This knowledge of salvation in Christ Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit through the word and sacraments, not the work of my uplifted hand of acceptance of Christ. It is not we who prepare ourselves to escape judgment, but rather it is God's work in Christ that prepares us for eternal life on the final day. The unknown of the final day is swallowed up through faith in the knowledge of God's righteous judgment on his Son for us. What a great word to proclaim to the unbeliever. Yes, there is an urgency to get the message out. Yes, there are false prophets who would seek to prepare people for the final day through fear tactics leading to ultimately to self-confidence in their own decision. These people need to be called to repentance so that their fear may be comforted through the proclamation of forgiveness in Christ. As pastors and future shepherds of God's flock, we not only work to keep believers prepared for the final day, we also must call to repentance those who live in fear of the final judgment. We must comfort them with the words of the gospel. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to work faith through the preaching and teaching of God's word for the knowledge of salvation in Christ. Amen.